throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good morning out there, Western Oklahoma, on this foggy, cool early morning on a Garrison Financial Friday. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour, hanging out here, recapping the carnage from last night and the first round of the NCAA tournament. You know, it's not a good sign when you go to check the brackets, check the standings for the Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge, and you pull up the group, and there's a big giant red X over the team you picked to win the national championship right there on the first evening worth of games, and it's a giant red X over the Kentucky logo.
that's gotta be tough.
It's not bode well for the rest of it. That's probably the last time I check it. Looks like Jeremy Gray's ahead, leading. He's got 14 out of 16, so that was fantastic. Fantastic work there. We'll talk about the tournament. Got a couple of things I want to ask Scott about. One, Justin Fields wasn't a Steeler yet last time we talked, was he? I think it happened night.
Russell was. He was
yes.
Not. Yeah.
And then also the Caden Proctor situation. Do you know what I'm talking about here?
I don't.
The kid that went from Iowa to Alabama and back.
No, oh, I don't know anything about this.
Oh, no. Okay, we'll have to talk about it. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple of ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app's got it all. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News. Pick up a free copy of the Penny News right now. Anywhere and everywhere where the Penny News drops. And, of course, Big Elk and Paragon TV during the high school sports season. How are you today, Scotty?
I'm good, man. I had to go get my Frosty Cold Coke, you know. That's like my Friday treat. I'm going to come do your show, and I get a Coke.
Get a Coke, do it. And now, how are your feet? I saw that you maybe tried to push the envelope or push the bar a little bit this week.
That was not a good idea. I'm back to just doing the PT exercises.
Not gym time just yet.
No, that was a bad idea. That actually wasn't nearly as bad as last Sunday. For spring break, Sam wanted to go to Enos, Texas to the drag races.
That's right.
And, ladies and gentlemen, if you ever want to go see street drag races, it's incredible. I mean, it was awesome. It was awesome. But go somewhere besides Enos, Texas, because there's one road in. And, of course, Sam wanted us to take the Shelby.
Uh-huh.
So for 2.5 hours, I sat in traffic with my bad left foot on a clutch.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And finally, after 2.5 hours, we sat in one spot for 30 minutes. Didn't move.
Just trying to get into the...
I finally drove them up to the gate. I said, y'all get out. I am going back to Dallas. I'm going to have a pizza and a beer, and I'll see you in a couple hours. Oh, my gosh. It was terrible. But the drag races, wow. That was some cool stuff.
It was awesome.
I heard Tulsa's a lot better. So if you like racing, if you like fast cars, you should really go check it out.
Now, how was the Stars game?
Oh, wow, man.
It's cool, isn't it? It's
Yeah, it was. I was a little disappointed. I did not know that they don't allow fighting anymore.
Yeah, kind of. I mean,
what is that? I was ready for some blood on the ice, man.
Yeah, it's become more sophisticated as more people have maybe gotten into it.
Even hockey. They're even wussifying hockey. But there were a couple of times that they slammed each other into those boards, and I thought, how's that guy still standing up?
Right. Yeah. Like, oh.
Oof.
And it is fast. Like, you just don't realize how fast-paced it is.
You don't, I didn't realize how the coordination that those guys have. Sometimes they caught the puck. I didn't know you could do that either.
Yeah,
I
mean, catch
I
it, put
I know
it down.
Absolutely nothing about hockey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they would catch the puck in the middle of the air, and I didn't even know where the puck was. I don't know how they saw it.
Yeah. And they do it while skating on ice.
While skating on ice. Yeah. While getting hit by other men.
There's a fair case to be made in my mind that those hockey guys are the most, I don't know if athlete isn't quite the right word, but coordinated or skilled. Yeah. Certainly, yeah. They're toward or at the top of the list.
Yeah.
Because you think
if,
they do.
If I'd been born in Wisconsin, my dad would have known from an early age that I was not going to be a hockey player.
Well, I can't laugh too much because I was the kid. I hated going to parties at the skating rink because I'd have to make them lock my wheels because I couldn't skate. So I'd just be walking around out there on skates.
Oh, man.
And even then, I don't know if I could stay up on two feet.
I loved skating until they came out with the blades and the ice skating. I went ice skating one time. The blades weren't as bad. I went ice skating one time, and I thought my ankles were going to snap in two.
Yeah, it's no chance.
No.
What would happen, the only thing positive about me trying to go ice skating is if I didn't like slice my neck off with the blade when I fell down. So I just, when that's the best thing that can happen, I just don't understand why I'd ever try to go do it. Okay, so there are a couple of things that were in the news. Obviously, as we mentioned last week, had they traded Pickett yet? They had just traded Kenny Pickett. The Steelers are the quarterback.
No. They might not have even done that yet.
They hadn't because it's all coming back to me. Yep. So Friday is when it all happened.
Yeah, that's when all of that went
down. That's right. They had Russell Wilson signed. Mm-hmm. They trade Kenny Pickett in the afternoon on Friday because we were at the golf course, and our new pro is a huge Steeler fan. If you didn't know that.
He's a huge Steeler fan. He's a good man.
And so is Leadon. So those guys were talking about, why are we trading Pickett? I said, listen, boys, it's obvious why they're trading Pickett. They're
going to
pick up Justin Fields. They're going to trade for Justin Fields. He's the perfect guy to either set behind Russell for a year or, I mean, they can kind of run the same thing. Oh, you really? You think? And sure enough, I guess it was the next day when that move was made. I think it's really interesting in this era of the NFL where it seems like if you don't have one of those five or six or seven guys at the quarterback spot, you have a hard time figuring out a way to win. But the problem is those five or six or seven, and then there's another five or six or seven that get paid like those others. Dak Prescott obviously leaps to mind.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that hamstrings you so bad.
Dak
when
Prescott
you pay them
to mind. Listen to this.
When
I
you
saw
pay
this
them and don't
morning,
get the results.
Talking about paying and not getting the results. Browns, Deshaun Watson, and Jerry Jeudy, $271 million guaranteed. Steelers, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, and George Pickens, 12.4.
So that's this is the interesting idea. So
that's not even 10%.
No. And do you
that's 5%.
Do you know how much money the Steelers have dedicated to not this coming year, but next year's cap at the quarterback spot?
I have no idea.
Zero.
Oh, wow.
Zero. They don't have a dollar dedicated. That means these two guys are done.
That's true. They're going to have to re-sign somebody, yeah.
Or go, or obviously a draft. So that's why I can't wait to see. I mean, how short is the leash on Russell Wilson? Or is it just a flat-out competition starting in OTAs and obviously getting into the camps.
Yeah.
You know, coming up into the season.
Well, if you're Justin Fields, you want to get on the field. If you're Justin Fields, you want to go play, and if you have a great year, then now they got to pony up.
Yeah, and so to that point, I also saw yesterday, it was kind of a market value projection of different young quarterbacks that were all in that same draft, the Mac Jones, Fields, and all those. They're clearly projecting that Fields will not only get on the field but play well at Pittsburgh because his market valuation is like 6 years, $283 million.
Pittsburgh won't.
How? I mean,
how is that as market valuation?
I have no idea. It had all the list
where
of
do
the.
They, I mean,
where they come up with
do
it?
Do the agents just? Hey, this number sounds good. Yeah, this is what he's valued at. This number sounds good.
It was. It
looked, that's like some of the stock market IPOs that you see, you know? some guy's got some new tech idea, and he wants to sell his company for $50 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this is what it's worth. And then the next day, that's why you don't buy IPOs, folks. I'll just give you that advice now.
So as a Steeler fan, what would it – I mean, I think that number is completely – overblown.
By the way, I think that's closer to 3.5%. The Steelers, what the Steelers paid for Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, and George Pickens is 3.5% of what the Browns paid for Deshaun Watson and Jerry Jeudy.
So one could say there's a reason why the Steelers and the Browns brown. I guess a vast majority of that is going to Watson, a guy that I'm not 100% sure even wants to play football anymore.
Yeah. Just wants to get a massage.
Yes, and whatever comes with that. So, but what would it take? Because Russell Wilson obviously isn't the long-term solution for your Steelers at quarterback.
No, he's 83.
It's a stopgap, and then, you know, what either draft or maybe now this move. What would it take? What would you have to see this season out of Justin Fields to go, you know what? The cap's gone up $30 million for every team. You know, say $40 million a year isn't outlandish. It's as stupid as that sounds to say. It's not just outlandish for a quarterback salary. What would it take for you to go, yeah, I think we ought to give him, let's say, 4 years, 200, or 5 years, 200?
I mean, I'm never going to say that because I've never seen it work. So, there you go. I mean, that's my answer. I've never – the day that I see it work out is the day that I'll say, oh, that was a great idea. But show me one. Show me a quarterback that went somewhere for max money that it didn't destroy the team over for the next 10 years. For 10 years. Not – you know, yeah, they might have had two seasons where they were competing for a Super Bowl, but the team was done for 10.
That's the thing about what's happening with the love for the quarterback, and it's so high right now. And quite frankly, it's proven in the results. I mean, it's hard to argue it.
Well, I mean, but look at Dallas. Like you said, Dallas has one more year. And if they don't get it done next year, they're not going to be able to pay anybody.
Here's what's even worse. The cap hit this year. Dak's contract runs out, but they've kicked the can down the road so much that they've got almost as big a one next year, and he's not even on the team.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's nuts. They teams have backed themselves into these corners with quarterbacks that, listen, I mean, he was, what, second in the MVP this last year, yeah, as far as the voting, but that's not the ultimate prize. And so, you know, look at Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is on a level of money making in his career that is right there with, like,
just
Tom Brady.
Astounding. It's astounding.
It's unbelievable.
Zero
how much money
Super Bowl wins. How many playoff wins does he have?
See, that's what I was going to ask.
Google that thing up.
One, maybe?
I don't know. Not many. But yeah, it's, you know, then you take a look at the Cardinals. I mean, the Cardinals go into camp every year and go, okay, who can we get a bargain on because we can't afford to pay anybody anymore?
So how are the Chiefs doing it? I mean, Pat's making 50.
I don't think it's going to last.
Nobody already thought it wasn't going to last. Yeah. I mean, the very first thing that happened basically when he got the money was Tyreek Hill went away.
Yeah. That's true. That's a good
and they've
point.
Won back-to-back Super Bowls.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Just obviously, drafting is a huge part of it. And
their tackles get to line up 2 yards behind the center, unlike any other NFL team.
And they've done something. They've almost recreated the team in these 2 years because I think everyone would agree this year it was a way more defensive team than it was an offensive team.
Yeah.
And when you look back at those Brady years.
There you go again. How much did they spend on signing the outside rusher, the lineman?
Oh, Chris Jones?
Yeah, Chris Jones. How much money did they spend on him, too?
See, that's the thing about every, you know, Brady is Brady, and we all know that. But especially those early years in New England, the first three, those were defensive teams.
Absolutely.
Now, there was a couple of Super Bowls where they really played well offensively. But for the most part, those were defensive teams. And, of course, the structure was totally different back then. It wasn't as quarterback dominant. You could still actually pay a running back, and it made a little bit of sense, which it obviously doesn't now. But I just wonder how long are we going to continue down this road in the NFL of the quarterback being, you know, somewhere between 15 to 20% or of the entire salary cap. How many? But at the same time, it feels like you have to have one. You mean, Brock Purdy, perfect example. Almost.
Yeah.
He was almost good enough to win.
That's a good point.
Almost. But look what they did around him.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even know they were going to have him. Brought in one of the best left tackles of all time.
Yep.
Probably the best running back in the league, but was injury prone.
I would say the offensive MVP.
Yeah. You know, injury prone guy, but since he's been there, he's been nothing but healthy. Part of that is they don't have to use him as much because then they got the other weapons that they've gotten.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, San Francisco is trying to almost recreate the wheel, at least right now in this period of time, until they have to pay Brock Purdy a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it hasn't worked. At least not to the ultimate level it hasn't.
I think that what San Francisco's doing, and I think what – did you see that? What the Texans did?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they can do it now, but that ain't going to last.
No, it won't. But, I mean, you talk about putting them into contention. Joe Mixon makes that offense quite a – I mean, if we don't have the sophomore curse, you know, we'll see what happens. But that offense is looking pretty legit.
Yeah, and then they bolstered the defense as well. I mean, that – yeah, Houston looks like they're kind of the next one coming up. To try to challenge Kansas City.
Yeah, might be the greatest thing that ever happened to him that the Oilers left however many years ago.
Yeah, because that ain't quite getting it.
Yeah, those guys down there are putting together a pretty good-looking team.
Isn't it amazing? Because, you know, they were right on the cusp, it seemed like, what, 4 or 5 years ago with Deshaun.
Yeah.
And then they make
And Schaub before that.
Yeah, and they make the weird trade because you had Schaub and Andre Johnson. Mm-hmm. Then you had Deshaun and Hopkins. And then they make that weird trade to ship Hopkins out to Arizona for what, I mean, a journeyman running back, basically.
Yeah.
And it kind of – and at that point, everything that was like the start of the spiral. And then obviously they get Deshaun out of there and now a new group, and they seem to know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do.
So far. Okay. So, Caden Proctor. You don't know.
I don't know anything about this.
All right, so Caden Proctor was the left tackle, true freshman left tackle for Alabama. Started every game this season.
Wow.
He's from Iowa. He's from Des Moines, Iowa. And he's a true freshman in the 23 season. So, in June of 2022, he committed to the hometown Hawkeyes. 2 days before signing day in December of 22, he flips to Bama, signs with Bama, plays for Bama all the way through into the playoffs this year, starts every game at left tackle.
That's pretty incredible.
6'7", 3", whatever. You know, he's a huge guy.
Yeah.
So then Saban happens.
Yep.
He jumps in the portal and goes home to Iowa. He is actually at an Iowa basketball game on camera talking about how, you know, there were some times in some games that he struggled a little bit because he's kind of slow, even for, you know, he's huge. But some of those guys are quicker than
he's
others.
He's a freshman.
Yeah, and he's a little slow, you know, at times. And, you know, maybe get a little criticism from the Bama fans or what have you. Maybe even Nick may have said something about he needs to, you know, maybe lighten his feet or whatever. So after he has gotten the portal and went to Iowa, he tells whoever's interviewing him on camera at the game that, oh, yeah, the coaches here at Iowa, they stayed in touch with me all year, told me to, you know, keep my head up. You know,
no.
So there's already, I mean, if there was rules, that would be a violation.
Yeah. But
it doesn't matter. Nobody's getting in trouble. And so that, you know, he says this on camera, like in January after he had made his way to Iowa. Guess what he's doing now? Reports where he was paid $1 million.
Oh my gosh!
In NIL to go to Iowa. You know where he's at right now?
And he's back.
Back at Bama.
Wow.
Never played a snap on the spring football field for the Hawkeyes.
Wow.
Apparently, spring break, he met up with some of his old Bama teammates, and he changed his mind.
Well, I mean, hey, let's be honest. If the money's the same or better,
well, I mean,
all it takes is one sentence. Do you want to win championships or not? Because you're not winning any at Iowa.
Well, but here, I mean, he doesn't have to give that money back, does he? Depending on what the contract.
Depends on what the contract
obviously,
says.
Obviously, what the contract.
Now, that you remember that kid from Florida?
Jaden Rashada.
Yeah, had that NIL contract and went pro. And
No, he went to Arizona State.
No, there was another kid that signed a 3-year deal. Maybe it was a 4-year deal. Anyway, he signed it, and he didn't read the fine print, and he went in the draft, and the money he had to pay back to Florida to whatever the booster thing is or whatever it is that pays the NIL was more than his first year contract.
Yeah, I know there was a deal with Jaden Rashada, the quarterback that committed to Florida.
Yeah, that kid, and then a disaster.
The money never showed up.
Yeah.
And so then he backed down and went to Arizona State.
Yeah, but no, that kid, I'll look it up. I'll see who it was.
So let's just say, well, first off, a situation like this happening to Iowa, if they already didn't have certain things and contracts, they damn well now.
Yeah.
You know they will. That's but it just, at some point, and maybe this starts sparking a little bit of regulation. Even Saban went to Capitol Hill the other day and kind of he's voiced his opinions, voiced his concerns. Nothing's going to happen because at this point the NCAA is so scared to death, and rightfully so on their part. Anytime they've tried to do anything with the NIL, it gets shot down in court.
Yeah.
So I think they've basically thrown their hands up and said, it's the Wild West. Yep. And I wonder if Saban.
Well, they've thrown their hands up and said it's the Wild West because they don't want to tick off college football guys any more than they
any more
have.
Than, and,
because
and
if they lose football, it's over. The NCAA is finished.
Well, and they at a certain level, but you know the basketball tournament is where they actually make their money. You know, but they also don't have the money to spend in court because they know that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah,
they're not going to win.
Yep.
So then where does it come from? Where do the schools, do the conferences, steps in?
I saw a week or two ago, and I don't know if this thing went through or what, but there's college football players that are trying to unionize.
There was a group up in, it was one of the Ivy Leagues, Cornell or
what do they think? Well, at an Ivy League school?
Yeah, but what is their value?
Yeah.
It's not like it's Georgia and Alabama guys. That might actually have some say.
Well, even if it is, I mean, if you're a quarterback in college football, are you going to want a union?
No.
If you're a linebacker or a D back or a wide receiver, I mean, yeah, you're not going to. Oh my gosh, I don't know.
No, the genie's out of the bottle, and right now the players have all the leverage.
Yeah.
The
position players have all of the.
That's
leverage.
Correct.
Yeah.
And what this Caden Proctor thing is such a farce to me because, you know, people that don't mind what he did. I mean, I think there's something about, your word.
Yeah.
And giving your word and, you know, he gave your word for money.
Yeah.
You know, and people will say, well, Iowa's paying him for his name, image, and likeness. No, they're not.
No.
No, they're not. They're paying him to come play football. It doesn't have anything to do with his name. Nobody knows who the hell the left tackle at Alabama was until this.
Yeah.
He's not getting paid because he's some sort of star.
Yeah, the only
he's
people that
Bryce
knew who the
Young
left tackle
or
was.
Caleb Williams.
Yeah, the only people that knew who the left tackle was at Alabama were the Alabama fans that were like, that freshman just ain't cutting it.
Yeah.
He needs to get off the field.
Yeah, that's right. And they probably don't even know his name. It's that freshman.
Yeah.
Or the number whatever.
Yeah.
So don't feed me this crap that Caden Proctor is worth $1 million in the NIL other than coming to play football at Iowa.
Yeah.
That's it. That doesn't have anything to do with his recognizability and boosting up some brand. No. Now, maybe in the state of Iowa, where he is from, maybe you could make some sort of argument that he's worth something, but he's not worth $1 million. Give me a break.
No, absolutely not.
I just wonder. You know, is this? Are we going to see this more and more without any stipulations on anything with transferring with the money? Are we going to start seeing guys? Because it almost feels like he always, in the back of his mind, wanted to play for Iowa.
Yeah.
Iowa kid, knew he had to go to Bama.
Probably grew up a Hawkeye fan.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Mm-hmm. But then when he got time to make that decision, he's looking, going, Iowa, Bama.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, hometown. I'm going to go to Bama. Then he gets a year in Bama, and then he's still wondering, man, I wonder what it's like at Iowa. Well,
His high school buddies are probably there.
And he didn't even go through spring practice. Because I'm thinking, all right, are we going to see guys like that comes down to two schools and they play somewhere as freshmen, especially if they play a bunch, then they really know what it's like. And then after that first year, go take some money from the other team that wanted them or that they were down to. Maybe even go through spring ball. Because here's the deal. April 15th, when spring is over, the portal opens again.
Yeah.
So they can just, you know, almost like see if the grass really is greener on the other side. And then if they decide it's not, just go back where they were and probably get paid from both a little extra.
It's crazy. That is insane.
It's just like there's part of me, and it feels like football is probably going to be its own thing at some point in the next decade or so, where it does move away from any sort of NCAA restrictions or rules, where football is just out there on an island by itself because it generates so much. It doesn't need anything else but itself. And then how that looks is up for debate.
It's going to be the coaches that rein this in, because the coaches, I can't imagine the stress. I mean, there's not a single period of your year now that is not completely full of stress.
No, because you're constantly having to recruit your own guys.
Yep.
There's no vacation.
Yeah.
Recruiting your own guys, because it's obvious by Caden Proctor saying, yeah, the Iowa coach has stayed in touch with me all year long.
Yeah.
That's happening. But what are you going to do about it? I mean, they tried to bring that tampering lawsuit against Tennessee.
And
it got shot down by the courts.
Yeah, it didn't even get started.
No, it was done. It was going to win. So it's a different deal, and it's going to be a different deal. And I think for me, it would help if football would just break away and just, hey, these are the rules.
Yeah.
There aren't any,
mm-hmm.
basically. And then you just kind of, because you're always kind of looking over your shoulder, at least I am, like, is the NCAA going to do anything? But then you realize they can't.
No. No, they have no power at all.
The Supreme Court ruling in that O'Bannon case stripped them of everything. They can't.
Yeah.
There's no enforcement. There's no anything when it comes to this stuff. And the problem for them is all the enforcement things that they had before, that stuff, when that was not legal, now everything that they would get, that anybody ever got in trouble for before, it's all legal.
Yeah. The thing, what's going to be the biggest hurdle that they're going to have to overcome, because honestly, 100%, football should already be breaking off. It should already be policing itself, making its own rules. But the thing is you're like, okay, so what's it going to mimic? You know, what league are they going to try to make this? Well, you can't do the NFL because there's 117 teams.
Yeah, but there won't be.
But that's the thing. So if you try to do something like what Europe does in soccer, you know, where you play yourself into the upper leagues, or you lose and fall out of the upper leagues, you're not going to be able to do that for the next 15 years because of TV contracts with conferences.
Well, the one thing about it is the conferences will be, in my mind, that's how it does become the NFL, because you've got –
it's going to be the SEC and the Big Ten.
Correct. And then – they start to absorb more and more teams and get up to whatever number they want it to be. And then I think there could be kind of the soccer model, European style, where you know, depending on where you start, you got these other teams, and they kind of have the varsity and the JV playoffs, yeah. You know, and then teams fall out, teams move up, and that way it's not always just stagnant. You've always, you know, you could see a TCU get rewarded,
yeah,
for being on really, really good on one level and then coming up to the next one.
It's good. That would be a very difficult thing to achieve, though, because once, you know, those blue bloods that are up there are the ones that are making all the money, and they're the ones that are going to have the money to spend. So then it goes back to, how are they going to police the NIL and all of that?
Well, if it is stagnant, let's say there's just 48 teams, you know, then I think you can start to look at some sort of collective bargaining.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's obviously, it's not like the NFL. Of course, you know, the players get recycled through and graduate and all that, sure, kind of stuff. But there would be some sort of, you know, I think communism works in sports. Where, I'm serious, though. Think about this. The ultimate communistic sport is the NFL, because everybody has the same money to, yeah, spend. Everybody has exactly the same dollar amount to spend. And, yeah, then you decide, you know, then it goes through on a team basis. It's capitalistic depending on.
Right.
But as far as just the league itself, it's the ultimate communist thing where everybody gets their share. And then
I'm going to have to study this.
It all goes back to the government, which is the NFL, to divvy out with the revenues. But
it's a perfect example of what happens in a communistic society.
It is.
The smart people win and the dumb people don't.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And then the smart one takes advantage of the dumb one.
And then the smart one takes advantage, yeah. Yes. And next thing you know, the dumb one's still sitting there with Deshaun Watson and there's Jerry G.
Yeah, and there's still some buffoon as the head of the thing that doesn't really have anything to do with it, but gets all the profits.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
Goodell is.
Yeah, and then you've got that one guy that has enough money that, even though there is a salary cap, he somehow manages to keep his team halfway decent by spending tons of money and,
yeah,
never win a playoff game.
It's, well, one of these days, you know, just like everything, those guys die.
I don't know if the Raiders feel like they're in any better situation.
No. I mean, I guess at least the Cowboys make
their playoffs. Guy died and they're still not in it.
He may have cursed them. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, talk a little bit about the NCAA tournament. One of the best couple of days in sports, the Thursday and the Friday. We'll also tell you where you need to be going to watch these things. It's Garrison Financial Friday. Scott's in the house. Skinny on Sports coming back right here on The Sports Animal.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer, member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
The Skinny on Sports.
We're back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal, hanging out on a Garrison Financial Friday. About to talk a little bit about the NCAA basketball tournament, day one yesterday. You know where your NCAA March Madness headquarters ought to be? Ought to be at the Boomtown Grill. Yesterday, there was a big crowd, at least in the parking lot down there. Of course, it was Thursday, which is 50 Cent Boneless Wing Day.
Yeah.
So you got wings, beer, hoops.
Hard to beat.
Folks that got to go down there for all that, congratulations. I was chained to my desk, which is fine. I got a lot of, I got a lot of stuff done that maybe allows me to get down there today.
I'm boycotting it. I didn't even fill out a bracket. So
you didn't?
No, because they didn't let in Kareem.
Oh.
They didn't let in Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, I wish they would have. You think that would have been better to watch than Virginia the other night?
Yeah, exactly.
Or Colorado State last night?
Yeah.
At least Colorado State. I guess in their defense, they did beat Virginia to get smoked by Texas. Boomtown, happy hour 2 to 6, Monday through Friday. They're open 7 days a week. Now, today and tomorrow, you get an extra hour to hang out in there. It's 11 to 10 on Sunday through Thursday. Friday and Saturday, 11 to 11. 12 big screen TVs. 11 beers are on tap. 30 bottles and cans available. Imports, domestics. They've got wine. The smoked old fashioned.
Great pizza.
Pizza's awesome. I love the nachos.
Yeah, they're good.
I love the nachos as an appetizer. A lot of times we'll get a pizza and nachos.
Yeah.
If we go down there. And then the mango habanero are my favorite wing, but there's a bunch of other good ones as well. Boomtown Grill, 2103 South Main, right here in Elk City. Go. You got another great day of watching ahead today. 11:15 clear to close. You can literally be there from when they open to when they close and watch basketball the entire time today. I heard this before we get into the basketball. I heard Mark and Brad and Sam talking about this yesterday. If your goal was to be there from 11 to 11, what sort of pace do you think you'd have to stay on in order to make it?
I think you're going to have to go with some kind of like a 2-to-1, two beers, one water.
The Dotson theory.
Yeah.
That's what Dotson does.
Yeah.
A water per beer.
One water per beer.
Yes.
He
playing
is a
golf.
Hydrated dude.
Yes. Absolutely. That's why he looks so good out there.
He does.
That's, you know, my problem is I forget the water. When we get started, we might start out on that track.
Is that a problem? I mean, beer is 95% water.
That's true.
95%. That's a lot of hydration.
See.
So
there's the big giant beers down there, and then there's a little bit smaller on the tap. Are you a big giant or are you a smaller on the tap? You go big?
Nah, come on, man.
I've actually got a theory about this.
Okay, let's hear your theory.
I go small.
You go small.
I do.
You're going with the pint. Just the pint.
Yeah, just the glass instead of the big giant glass.
Okay.
Part of it is if you get to, especially if you're in a group, you get to talking, you get to watching the basketball, and you might forget to go at a steady
enough
pace.
You just drink two beers instead of one?
Well, I'm going to say then if you don't drink it, the big one fast enough, it gets a little bit warm, and I can't stand it to be not just ice cold.
You let a beer get warm.
Well, you try not to, but if you get to talking and, you know, and especially if you've been there a few hours and all of a sudden you make two trips to the toity because you break the seal a little early.
Yeah.
That's where I'd stay with the shorter one.
All right.
Wait,
I can
I'm
see
always,
logic in that.
I'm always assured that it's going to be cold.
Yeah, I can see logic in that. Plus, you know, mentally, you know, well, I had a beer, and so it's not a bad idea. It's probably a pretty good way to pace yourself.
Yeah, it may not work, but that's at least the goal every time in a situation like this. All right, so last night, looking at the Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge standings, I'm in the middle of the pack, literally dead in the middle of the pack, and also I have a red X over my national championship pick. This is like the second time in 4 years that I've picked a team to win the national title that got beat in the first round. So that's not great. Kentucky goes down at the hands.
That's pretty rough.
Yeah, it's hard to do, really. But here's the deal. If you try to make a pick, I mean, anybody can pick UConn. But in these big, giant bracket pools, I almost feel like you got to try a little extra. Try something that nobody else would try to be able to win.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out for me and Jay Kirby and Coach Hunt, and James Ainsworth, it was not the right thing to try.
Not the right, yeah.
With the Kentucky Wildcats. All right, so I want to Calipari. I mean, I don't know a bigger Kentucky fan than Hunt. I don't know a bigger fan of anything than he is of Kentucky. And I mean, it wasn't. We talked about it because I'd ask him, not with your heart, tell me with your head how good they are. But as I was trying to talk myself out of picking them to win it all, but it didn't work. And he's like, you better not jinx us. Well, then, of course, you know, he sends me, sorry about that. Cal has to go. And so
Cal has to go.
Calipari has to go.
It's a big statement.
So it's an interesting thing here because he got there in 2009 to Kentucky. In 2010, there's two levels of his career at Kentucky. There is 2010 to 2019, and there's after that. So 2010 to 2019, made the Final Four one, two, three, four times, won one title, played in the title game another.
Only, I mean, that's pretty good.
Only one first week exit, a second round loss to Indiana back in 2016. Every other year, he got beat in the second round once, the Sweet 16 once. Every other year is at least Elite Eight or on.
Final Four 40% is pretty good.
I bet that's
the best in a 10-year period. In that 10-year period, I bet
of the other teams around
Duke,
him.
Duke was
North
there
Carolina
all the time.
North
back
Carolina
then
was there a bunch, but yeah, I mean they're right up there toward the top. There's no doubt. But since 2019, obviously there wasn't a tournament at 2021. They didn't make it. In 2022, they lost as a 2 seed. Last year, they did win a game. And then lost as a 6 seed in the second round. And then, obviously, this year as a 3 seed, they go out in the first round. Since 2019, they've won one game in the NCAA tournament and also one game in the SEC tournament.
Wow.
You don't really – you think about him and Kentucky in those first 10 years and how successful they were. And now we're running on
5 years.
5 years of nothing. And quite frankly, 5 years of embarrassment, or two out of the last three for sure, as losing as a 2 and losing as a 3 in round 1. And so I think it – here's the problem. $34 million is his buyout.
Whoa.
Because he essentially has kind of a lifetime contract that rolls over, a little bit Gundy-esque in that way. And so – in order to get rid of him, it's $34 million.
I wonder how much, because Kentucky, I dare say, is one of the maybe 5 schools in the country that basketball actually makes money. I wonder
how
much.
You got 22 grand in Rupp Arena, and it's full every night.
Yeah, I wonder how much money their basketball team makes. But, I mean, does it really come down to that? Because the fact of the matter is, it's just like A&M this last year. When the boosters decide they've had enough, you're done. It doesn't matter what that buyout is. There's plenty of those guys. There's plenty of guys like T. Boone Pickens at every school that, you know, I'll give up $20 million of my $500 million to get rid of this guy.
Trying to see if I can find. I've got total revenues, but I don't have the.
I mean.
Basketball.
I dare say that Oklahoma State didn't come up with the money to buy out Boynton.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I'm sure it was boosters that said, hey.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Because that was a huge buyout, too. How much was it?
6.
Oh, is that all it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
6 point. Yeah, it was nothing
like this. That's not 34.
Uh-uh. So Kentucky basketball takes in $27.2 million. What is this? Yeah, individual. How about that? This says their football only makes 37.
Net, seems, maybe their football.
Now this is
surely
this just says
net.
Revenue.
Really?
It's, yeah. Gross revenue $37.6 million. In football, 27.2 in basketball. Which, I mean,
They're not making much money after you fly players everywhere. After you treat them like princesses, you're not making very much money.
All right, here we go. It's going to take a little bit to go through this. They sell more tickets for. This is their report. They sell more tickets to basketball than football.
You're kidding me.
That's what it says. 17.
Well, 17. But they play a lot more games.
They play a lot more games. And their Commonwealth Stadium isn't gigantic
right.
in the terms of SEC football stadiums. Now, they generate, this has 48.9 million for football, 31.2 for basketball. And a huge part of that is what they get from the conference, what they get from the media rights. Mm-hmm. There's so much, they dwarf them. But still, that's 31 million in revenue. Yeah, they made 9 million in basketball.
Yeah.
Net income from men's basketball, $9 million. That's got to be at or near the top of anybody in college hoops.
Yeah.
Them in Kansas, because of the size of their arenas and the loyalty of the fan base, they've got to be toward the top, mm-hmm. if not at
so,
the very top.
So looking at giving up 4 years to fire him.
Yeah. Not happening, I don't think.
4 years of profit to fire him. It, like I said, it'll just matter if a booster decides it's enough.
Yeah. Is it time or is it not time?
Yeah.
I think that's
So who's your pick now? Who's your pick to win it now?
I can't do that. Kentucky was my pick. You know, I have a deal on here for the folks on the text line. Did anybody change your mind? Like, do you have a team that maybe had getting knocked out in the first couple rounds? You watched them play yesterday, and you think, I may have messed that up. I do have a team like that. And I sit around here, and I tried to figure out who was going to beat Purdue. And I couldn't figure it out. So I just picked Purdue to go to the Final Four because nobody else is going to. Yeah. Everybody hates Purdue because they lose. They've lost as a 3, a 2, and a 1 the last 3 years.
If this Golkey guy keeps hitting 10 threes a game,
yeah.
I'm picking Oakland.
But the team is Gonzaga. Kansas is clearly vulnerable without McCullough. Dickinson's not 100% healthy. They just haven't been Kansas at all this year.
Yeah,
Gonzaga plays them tomorrow. I like Gonzaga's chances there. They look fantastic in a game that a lot of people thought they would lose to McNeese and Will Wade, who'd won over 30 games going into the tournament, and they just destroyed them. It was not even – it was never even in doubt. And so Gonzaga and maybe we should have seen – if it does happen, maybe we should have seen it coming, because for the first time in how many years – 10, 15, is Gonzaga is more the little cool Cinderella story instead of, you know, the one seed, the two seed like they have become.
Right, right.
They're not that this year. And so maybe the pressure is completely off of them, and they've kind of got a free roll here. And, man, they looked awesome yesterday. Yeah. So Gonzaga might be the team.
Is that in Washington?
Yeah, Spokane.
Okay.
Spokane, Washington. That might be Gonzaga.
And that's
might
where
be
John Stockton played.
That's correct.
Right? All right,
that is correct.
So he's probably the guy that got the ball rolling there.
He's always in the stands. You see him all the time now in Gonzaga games. They'll search him out, and he's always in the middle of the fans. He's not like getting any special treatment.
Yeah,
and he looks just like he did all those years ago. He looks the exact
same.
Like
a normal person,
just a totally normal guy.
Yeah,
but they might be the team as good as they looked. That, you know, that one bracket with Tennessee and with Purdue as the top two seeds, Kansas as the four, you know, I don't trust any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Purdue and Tennessee have both had, Rick Barnes himself has had just massive disappointments in the tournament year after year after year. So maybe it's just the Zags. But they looked really good. Let's see, coming up today, there's some good ones. They're always. I can't wait to watch Nebraska. So Nebraska has.
I told you I'm boycotting it.
No,
I'm kidding. Go
Nebraska
ahead.
Has never won an NCAA tournament game. Not one. They've never won a game in the tournament.
Wow.
Ever. And they've got this little dude, this little Oriental dude.
I haven't watched him.
He can be like, he could be what we were hoping Indiana State's guy could be.
Yeah.
If he gets in.
Okay.
Because he's so, I don't know, man. If they can beat A&M, then they'll get to play Houston more than likely, unless Houston does something stupid. And people are going to really gravitate toward him because he's just a ball of energy and he just fires it up. But you mentioned Grolke. He's definitely the guy so far.
I mean, if you can score 10 threes in a game, then yeah.
There was 10 threes. There was a triple-double yesterday. Who was it? It was a guy from Illinois. First triple-double since Ja Morant. You want to take a guess at how many triple-doubles there have been in NCAA tournament games in the history of the tournament?
Obviously not very many.
10. He was the 10th.
Really? That's it?
That's it.
Wow.
He was the 10th
wow, you think
triple-double.
That's pretty far out.
It is pretty wild. So there, Illinois looked good.
I wonder if Wayman Tisdale had one of those.
They named some names, and they didn't name Wayman.
They didn't name him.
It was names you knew. Shaq seemed like he had one, probably with blocks.
Yeah.
You know, Hakeem almost had one in in that game they lost to NC State.
Shaq was ridiculous at LSU.
Yeah.
I mean, good Lord.
So, tournament. Thanks a lot, Kentucky.
So, you have no love for Houston at all, huh?
Well, I had Kentucky and Houston playing in the Elite Eight.
Okay.
And I just thought Kentucky could score. Sometimes Houston can't.
Yeah.
And that would be where maybe they bow out. No, now that my bracket is shot, I'm 100% rooting for Kelvin and Houston.
Yeah.
No, there's no doubt. They are – they will be who I root for.
Yeah.
Because I don't have any rooting interest in winning the bracket challenge anymore. So, yeah, yes, I will be on the Kelvin bandwagon. Probably have a Houston hat by the time next week's games roll along so I can act like I've been there before. They've been there the whole time. So you have no interest?
No, man. I just, you know, I watched my first college basketball game earlier this year when OU played Texas. When we were we 8-0?
Yeah, something like that.
The first time we played Texas.
Oh, they lost the one game to Carolina, maybe.
And that hideously ugly guy from Texas just whipped our butt, and it was like I jinxed the team. It was like
you started the downfall of missing
that
the tournament.
One game was the I think it was me. And so then it was like, okay, well, yeah.
I knew
not to get excited. I guess that's like Jared.
Yeah.
Knew I shouldn't have gotten excited.
Went from number 7 in the country to out of the tournament. It's all because Scott watched the one basketball
sorry,
game.
Sorry, everybody.
Not everybody's upset with that. All right, when we come back, wrap it up for the week. It is Garrison Financial Friday. It's like the sun's trying to peep through the clouds. I think eventually it's going to be pretty nice this afternoon.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's supposed to be a little windy.
Windy this weekend, for sure by Sunday. I think
yep.
50-mile-an-hour gusts.
No, good times.
We'll be back.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member, FINRA, and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
It's in the hole!
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Man, you know, with this rain, kind of nice and moist the last day or so, I hope you took my advice on Monday and called my man Scott Kelly at Superior Lawns and got some fertilizer down. What a perfect time.
That's true.
Get the fertilizer down, the first application. Then all of a sudden, a couple days later, you don't even have to water your yard. It did it for you. Mother Nature did it for
Solid
you.
Solid gold.
No doubt about it. Scott has the – if you got those bugs, you know, it's always this time of year, maybe just like in a month or so, you go to the golf course, you see those little black gnats.
Mm-hmm.
They just swarm around like right above the grass. See, that's why you got to call Scott. He's got the insecticides to discourage grub worms, discourage all the other insects like those little annoying gnats, and then also the fertilizers. He can spray your yard. A bunch of people have their yard sprayed already as far as the pre-emerge and all that kind of stuff. But now it's time to get your lawn on track. Call Scott Kelly, 580-799-5670. Superior Lawns. They've got the granular application programs for insecticides, for insects, for the fertilizers as well. Yeah, we didn't talk about the Kansas game.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, nobody's surprised Kansas got a favorable call by an official. If you watch Big 12 basketball, and especially in Fog Allen Fieldhouse, this is the norm, not the exception to the rule. But the one thing that kind of stunk last night, and there's no guarantee, down 15 seconds left, that Samford goes and makes a play to take the lead or win the game. But what it did do was rob us of a chance to have an all-time highlight.
Yeah.
Of that chase down. I mean, it reminded me of LeBron as a Cavalier against Golden State in Game 7, chasing down Andre Iguodala, blocking that shot, and then, you know, the Cavs win, and there's two things you see, the LeBron block and the Kyrie shot. This had the chance to be that for little old Samford against Kansas with an amazing block, and then go back the other way and see if they can, you know, win the game or take the lead. It stinks, because in the last 2 minutes of that game, they do like four or five reviews, and then they can't look at that.
Yeah.
Like, how can they not look at that when they can look at all this other stuff? If you're going to, like, I'd almost rather just not be replay, because then you don't have to sit there and go, well, why can't they replay an obvious missed call like that?
Yeah. I don't know who makes those rules, but they're not very good at making those rules. Hey, I got a question for you.
Okay.
I need an update. Now I saw that he had a couple of good weekends or a couple of good days. How's Anthony Kim playing? I haven't been keeping up very much.
He only had one good round. Okay. He missed the cut. It wasn't a live deal. It was like the European Tour or the Asian Tour, I think, last week, and he didn't play very well. Missed the cut. So he's, you know, that you hear these stories and you don't even know if they're true. But like, I know after he shot that great round on live, two or three weeks ago. His caddy was talking about how a lot of the inconsistency comes from he hasn't even been fitted for his clubs yet.
Surely not.
That's what he said. His caddy said this. And so they're like, the numbers aren't real dialed in because of the inconsistency. Because he doesn't have...
He has to be the most eccentric.
He hasn't taken the time to do it. Like, who was it? Was it Rom, or was it, it may have been DJ that was having to show him what a TrackMan was, how to use TrackMan? Because it wasn't a thing when he played before. It wasn't a thing yet.
Well, and he couldn't play. That's the thing. What a lot of people don't realize is he could not play golf at all.
12 years is a long time.
In order for him to continue to get the insurance settlement, he could not play golf at all.
Yeah, because you'd hear these stories of him sneaking around, hitting ball through that early part of that time. Like, okay, he's going to end up forgoing this, and he's going to come back. But you'd hear, you know, it was almost like Bigfoot.
Yeah.
In a lot of that period of, you know, he was supposedly at the range and wherever, or what, you know, way away. And you never saw anything. Grainy photos. It could have been him. Could have been some other guy. You know, it was really weird there for a long time. But, you know, it's amazing. He hasn't played well. But at the same time, I mean, you know, we watch – every now and then we watch Tiger, for instance.
Yeah.
Who, you know, we get all up in arms and he makes a cut at the Masters. He's going to play here in a couple of weeks. If he makes the cut, everybody would be pumped up and like, man, what an amazing – he plays four or five times a year and can make the cut at a major.
The thing
he can't even play for 12.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's to expect him to just
– And Anthony Kim wasn't Tiger when he left.
Well,
either.
No. I mean, he's good.
Yeah.
A brilliant talent.
Mm-hmm.
But to expect much out of him –
in the first year is pretty rough.
I think it's just awesome that he's playing, you know, and then we'll see how much he dedicates to it, or is it just a way to maybe get that insurance money paid off, you know, whatever that is. But it's cool. It would just be a lot like the buzz that it created when he did shoot that one good round on live. Like, he is one of the guys that does create outside. I mean, Tiger is the needle.
Mm-hmm.
He moves the needle for ratings on TV, obviously. But he is a guy that can drum up enough interest from not the golf fan, the just the normal kind of on the periphery type of guy.
Yeah.
That wants to see what he can do.
Well, I mean, who did you watch the players at all?
Yes, I watched the entire last round.
Yeah. I watched the end of the last round as I was eating pizza waiting to go back down to the races.
Yeah, no, I watched the entire last round. It was fantastic.
It was.
But it was the first time all year that we've seen a battle between guys we've heard of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, no offense to Nick Dunlap, but who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're an amateur. Now you're not.
And but, 6 out of the other 10, I didn't have a clue who they were.
Yeah, there's some, you know, there always is a little bit of international flavor in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Of some guys that you're like, huh?
Yeah.
And then you see them pop up on Ryder Cups and you go, oh, yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah.
He got like 6 at the Players.
Right.
Jeez, where do these guys come from? They just keep on coming. All right, what's going on down at Garrison Financial?
Hey, we're just working with people, taking a look. Come down, bring your information. If you want to get a second opinion on maybe some insurance products that you bought or an annuity that you bought, bring it down. Let's take a look at it. If you want to go through your portfolio, if you want to talk about some different ways that we can invest in the market, some ways that might offer a buffer against this volatility, come down. We've got some options.
And then also, I mean, people that do it realize, but some people don't realize, you know, just because it's 2024, you're still able to contribute to IRAs for your tax return in 2023.
We got about 3 weeks.
Yeah, all the way up until the 15th of April.
Yeah, got about 3 weeks. So, yeah, come down. Let's check it out. Wouldn't you rather put $6,000 into a IRA than put $4,000 to the federal government for taxes?
That's what we call a mic drop. No one out there went, no, Scott, I'd rather give it to the government. Appreciate your time. It is Garrison Financial Friday, as always. Enjoy the weekend. Jared will be back on Monday. Skinny on Sports, right here on the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right.